Mark will be preaching for us in just a little bit, but before he comes up, we're going to hear two sections from the book of 1 Kings. So we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 to 19 now, and Janine will read a section from chapter 14 after we sing. So please, if you have a Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter 13. We'll read 1 Kings 13, verse 1 to 19. Hear the word of the Lord. And behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make offerings. And the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places, who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign that the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. And when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar at Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him. And his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was torn down, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign that the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king said to the man of God, entreat now the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half your house, I will not go in with you. And I will not eat bread or drink water in this place, for so was it commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way that you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told to their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? And his sons showed him the way that the man of God who came from Judah had gone. And he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you or go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water.
1 Kings chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise and disguise yourself, that it not be known that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah the prophet is there, who said of me that I should be king over this people. Take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what shall happen to the child. Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim because of his age. And the Lord said to Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shall you say to her. When she came, she pretended to be another woman. But when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet, as she came in at the door, he said, Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another? For I am charged with unbearable news for you. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes. But you have done evil above all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and metal images, provoking me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring harm upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male, both bond and free in Israel, and will burn up the house of Jeroboam as a man burns up dung until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Arise, therefore, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something pleasing to the Lord, the God of Israel, in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam today. And henceforth, the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water and root up Israel out of this good land that he gave to their fathers and scatter them beyond the Euphrates because they have made the Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned and made Israel to sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And as she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoke by his servant Ahijah the prophet.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning as we spend time in God's word together, as we look at this passage, two chapters that we're going to look at. We're going to look at all of the chapters, but we didn't read all of them, just in case you're wondering why I go further than where we read, but just to fill out the story. But there will be the two chapters both covered in the sermon. On the 10th of May, 2022, the pilot of a Cessna 208 Grand Caravan, now that won't mean anything to you except that there's a picture of it up on the screen behind me, he suffered a tear in his main artery, the artery near his heart. The plane was flying at about 9,100 feet, and for those of you in meters, that's about 2,700 meters. And once the pilot lost consciousness, the plane went into a nosedive. There was a passenger on this 10-seater plane named Darren Harrison. And he's pictured on the right. If you see the two men up there, he's pictured on the right. He managed to take control of the plane, having never flown before, and he radioed to Fort Pierce Air Traffic Control. An air traffic control specialist, Greg Batani and Robert Morgan, they gave clear words of instruction to Harrison for 76 minutes, enabling him to land the plane safely. Now, in a life or death situation, the words that we follow, the ones that grip our attention, they make all the difference. See, if Darren Harrison had ignored air traffic control and instead, you know, pulled the passengers on the plane, if he had said, oh, I think I can do this myself, I don't need any help, thanks, well, the story would have ended tragically, for sure. Instead, with life on the line, Darren remained gripped by every word of instruction from air traffic control. You know, our world is gripped by many words demanding attention. Our parents, our culture, our peers, they all have words which grip them, words that they follow. Our two chapters of study in 1 Kings this morning, they drill the importance of being gripped by God's word, by the word of the Lord. And it'll show us in three different ways, three points here. First, that the word of the Lord is to grip us, not the word of a liar. That the word of the Lord are words of life, not death. And that the word of the Lord calls us to faithful, not false worship. So my question for us this morning, all of us, what words grip you? What words grip me? What words grip us as a congregation of God's people? Well, let's look at that first point. Do the words of the Lord grip you, or the words of a liar? The word of the Lord occurs in this passage. I don't know if you noticed when you were reading it, when it was read to you this morning. It's repeated over and over again. I think at least must be a dozen times in this section. It guides the entire storyline. In fact, sort of drives it along. And this prophet of Judah, we're not given his name, but this prophet of Judah is gripped with the word of the Lord. He travels. He travels from Judah all the way up to the northern kingdom of Israel, to Bethel, to give King Jeroboam God's authorized word against the altar that Jeroboam built. So he travels a long way and he gets there and he speaks against the king's altar. And then he also, this prophet of the Lord, he predicted both signs of grace and signs of judgment. He predicts Josiah's coming and the altar's destruction. Well, the altar is destroyed in this passage right away. So judgment falls on the altar. And therefore, we know that the sign of grace, Josiah's coming, will happen as well. Josiah will rid the land of idolatry. That's actually, although it's bad for the idolaters, it's good for God's people to be driving out, to be destroying idolatry. Well, then the word of the Lord, this prophet listens, but his life is threatened because of what he spoke against the king. Jeroboam says in verse four of the chapter 13, he says, "Seize him." And then his hand shrivels up and kind of stops. And then the prophet prays for the word, prays for the healing of the king, and his hand is restored. See, the first time we see that this prophet is listening to everything. He's gripped by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam offered to feed this prophet, reward him for restoring his hand. But the Lord told the prophet, what do we read? Look down in verse 9. Look at what we read. These are the instructions from the Lord. Eat no bread or drink no water in that place, or return by the way you came. He was commanded by the Lord not to stay there, not to eat, not to drink. And he obeyed it the first time. You see, the truth of it is, what we see in this passage is that the Lord's word applies to all of God's people, to the high and lofty and to the low. It applies to all of Israel and Judah. The kingdom had split at this point, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. But this word of the Lord applies to everyone. It reveals God's grace and it reveals God's judgment. It's more powerful than any earthly king, even the king of Israel. So the messenger, this prophet, he needs to be gripped by this message as well. It's life or death. As we read on, we find that the prophet of Judah is deceived by the lying old prophet of Bethel with a false word. The old prophet of Bethel, he catches up with the man of God, with his prophet of Judah, on the road, and he lies to him. He lies to him. Look at verse 18. I'll read it. I also am a prophet, as you are. And an angel of the Lord spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat and drink water. But he lied to him. So even with a clear word from the Lord, this prophet of Judah, even with a clear word from the Lord, the prophet of Judah disobeyed that word. The Lord's word that came after he disobeyed and went back with this old prophet to his house in Bethel. The Lord's word that came to the old prophet, declaring a curse on Judah's prophet. Here's what it says in verse 22. Your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. That's a curse. Now you and I may find that hard to fathom. How does this work? But consider the clear word of the Lord that came to this prophet. It came and the man recited it twice. He said two times what this clear word of the Lord was. In verse 9 and verse 18, he repeats the Lord's command. So it's not that he doesn't know the Lord's clear command. But with one false word, one time, this false lying word from the old prophet of Bethel comes to the prophet of Judah and he obeys it. And he disobeys God. Now, Bethel, just to give you a bit of background, Bethel was one of the towns where Jeroboam was setting up false worship. It's one of the places he puts golden calves. And let me tell you that any prophet from those regions should be suspect. A prophet of God living in Bethel while false worship is going on, they should be a little bit sus. The prophet of Judah should have been suspicious. In addition, he had a clear word from the Lord. Well, that should trump any other word that we hear. If we know that God has spoken directly to us, seen in the word, then that should trump any word, even one that supposedly comes from an angel of the Lord. So I think we need to learn two things just in this first point. First, rule one. If you want to put it that way, clear commands from the Lord should grip you. They are words to follow. Rule two, a little more complicated. Old prophets from false centers of worship with lying angels, lying words from an angel should not be trusted. That's rule two. You want to know which words should grip you? Well, if the source of the word is suspect, in any way, always return to rule one. Always listen to the clear command of the Lord. Be gripped by God's word and obey it. The second thing we see here is that the words of life should grip us, not the words of death. Jeroboam's son, Abijah, he fell sick. Now you have Abijah the son and Ahijah the prophet. So Abijah, Ahijah, it's a little confusing, but I'll try and be clear. So Jeroboam sends his wife in disguise to Ahijah the prophet, who is a blind prophet in Shiloh. Now I hope you find that as a bit comical. I do. Dad's sense of humor. You disguise yourself to a blind prophet. That's kind of a little funny. Why would you do that? But in any case, Ahijah is told by the Lord that Jeroboam's wife is going to visit and inquire about the child's health. And so the question for the Lord's prophet that comes from the wife of Jeroboam is, what will happen to my child, to Abijah? However, when the Lord gives the answer through this prophet, the Lord spoke much more than about the child. The Lord spoke the words of death to the line of Jeroboam. Now, this is all going to sound quite harsh to our ears. Until you think back to 1 Kings chapter 11, and if you have time, you can turn back there, verse 38. You see, Ahijah, the prophet, told Jeroboam. So this same prophet told Jeroboam by the word of the Lord that he was going to be king over 10 tribes of Israel. And the Lord gave a promise to Jeroboam at that point. So if you have verse 38 in front of you, here's what it says. If you will listen to all the command that I command you and will walk in my ways and do what is right in my eyes by keeping my statutes and my commands, as David, my servant, did, I will be with you and I will build you a sure house as I built for David. And I will give Israel to you. This is the word of life that came to Jeroboam in chapter 11. He only needs to listen to all that God had commanded, to walk in his ways and do what is right. And then the Lord would be with him. The Lord would build him a house and give him Israel. The word of life from the Lord came to Jeroboam first. God was being kind. A promise, very like the promise that the Lord gave to King David. But very sadly, Jeroboam rejected the Lord's promise. In the scriptures, it says he actually cast it behind him. He threw away God's promise. And he turned to make idols, to make his own way of worshiping, to thinking he could do his own thing, to establish false worship. And then in chapter 12, verse 28, we read, so the king took counsel, and he made two golden calves. Sound familiar? Like the golden calves that Aaron made in Moses' day? Two golden calves. He doubles what Aaron does. And here, Jeroboam, the words say, and he said to the people, you've gone up to Jerusalem long enough. This is the place where God has set his name. And Jeroboam says, no more. Don't go to Jerusalem. You've gone there long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. What a wicked man. What words gripped Jeroboam? Well, it's not the Lord's words of life. Instead, he chose idolatry. He chose disobedience. He chose death. Therefore, the Lord gave Jeroboam's wife the words of death, the curse. Look at chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. I will bring harm upon the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every male, both bond and free in Israel. I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as a man burns up dung until it is gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat. Anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the air, of the heavens, shall eat. The word of the Lord has spoken it. However, even in the midst of this terrible curse, even in the midst of this words of death, God shows kindness to one of Jeroboam's line. The child, Abijah, in whom it said the Lord found something pleasing. That child will die, but the child will have a proper burial. The child will be mourned for properly. It was a mercy of God to take this child, to spare him growing up in a generation of wickedness. So is the lesson so far simply, well, if we obey the Lord fully, the Lord will bless you with life. And if we disobey, we die. Is that what we've picked up so far? I hope that's not what you've picked up so far. You see, that's a common formula in world religions. But that is not the whole of the Christian faith. What word grips us as Christians? Well, it's the same words that gripped King David. God promised that there would be an eternal king who would sit on David's throne forever. You see, our perfect obedience, and if you think about the obedience of David, he messed up, didn't he? Our perfect obedience is not how the Lord offers words of life to his people. It's only by faith in God's promised perfect king where we are granted life eternally. The Apostle Paul links the words of life, the gospel promise, to faith in David's greater son. In 2 Timothy 2, 8 and 10, here's what Paul says. Remember Jesus Christ, that is Jesus the King, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. So Paul is telling Timothy, remember these things. And Paul goes on, so the elect may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See, gripped by the promise of God, we know that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. And since salvation can be only found in the promised one, in this promised king that is going to sit on David's throne forever, then the worship of any other gods is false worship, isn't it? The Lord's word, they call us to our last point, the third point here. Call us to faithful and not false worship. That is our third point. We'll be looking at verses 21 to 31. The Lord's word calls us to faithful, not false worship. Now, the writer turns our attention back to Judah, back to King Rehoboam. So we've left Jeroboam. We've now talking about the southern kingdom, the King Rehoboam there. Worship in Judah is hardly any better than it was in Israel. There's high places in Judah. There's pillars. There's Asherim. There are everywhere. And along with every abominable practice that goes along with those worship of the various nations, child sacrifice, temple prostitutes. So real wickedness is going on in Judah as well. Rehoboam, like Jeroboam, has brought false worship into the kingdom, into God's kingdom. Now, Solomon's faithlessness impacted his son. You remember Solomon married many foreign wives. And one of them was the mother of Rehoboam. And we're told in chapter 14, verse 21, that Rehoboam's mother was an Ammonite. Now, if you don't remember, in the Old Testament, the Ammonites, they were always Israel's enemies. In their wanderings all over the place, the Ammonites were bad news. So her family connection, both to Rehoboam's father, Solomon, as his wife, and Rehoboam, her being his mother, it indicates that actually she influenced Rehoboam, her son, into her own false practices. And then Rehoboam led Judah to worship falsely as well. As the king goes, so went the nation. So the Lord's temple, where faithful worship was supposed to take place. Now, that was in Jerusalem. That was in the southern kingdom in Judah. It had become weak, though. Judah had become weak. So Shishak, he's the king of Egypt, he harbored Jeroboam back in chapter 11 of 1 Kings. He harbored Jeroboam because Solomon was trying to kill Jeroboam. So Jeroboam flees to Egypt to get taken care of. Well, now Shishak comes to Judah and he raids the temple. And look at verse 26 of chapter 14. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. He took away the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. Rehoboam can only make some kind of cheap replicas of what used to be gold shields. Now he can only make bronze shields. What's happened? Well, Judah had lost the protection of the Lord. The Lord is the one who no longer gave his people peace on every side, like he had done in the days of Solomon. What word grips us? You see, we may be thinking comfortably, sitting here, thinking, well, we have faithful worship. Faithful worship here at WPC Bull Creek. You know, our Reformed and Presbyterian pastors, they preach to us from the Bible. Now, that's true. I am preaching from the Bible. We do preach from the Bible here at Bull Creek. And using God's means of grace is a sense, gives us a sense of comfort and assurance. You know, we read the Bible, we pray, we have times of fellowship. All of that, means of grace, and we should rejoice and have comfort in those things. But I think we also must ask ourselves, ask one another as the body of Christ. Are we listening to God's word and consistently walking in it? Not perfectly always walking in it, but consistently. See, in tough times, this prophet of Judah, we saw it today, he spoke the truth to power, to the king, and he was faithful in doing that. But in easy times, when that was done, he listened to the lying prophet and he disobeyed the clear word of the Lord. And that's what's likely to happen to us, right? When things are tough, we might stay faithful, but then things get easy. You know, we go home. In our home, we let our guard down. In our home, we take the armor of the Lord off. We say, oh, it's nice and peaceful here. I'll just rest. And then some temptation comes along and we fall. We fail to listen to God's word and apply it, even in our home. Or anywhere else where we just think, oh, I don't have to really pay attention right now. But we need to ask ourselves also, are we listening to the words of life and believing them? The Bible says, the Lord has granted to us his precious and very great promises. He says that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Do not neglect God's promise. Build your life on it. Now, if you want to know the relation then between command and promise, here it is. Think of a child, and a parent is instructing them on how to walk, or a parent is instructing them on how to ride a bicycle, okay? And you've given them the instruction, you told them what to do, and you've shown them maybe, and everything. You do that, and then the child starts to walk, or they start to ride the bike, and they fall over, and the parent goes, "You idiot! You didn't listen to my instruction!" Now, wait a minute. That's not what parents do. A parent with even an ounce of compassion, when their child falls over, doesn't scream that. They come over to the child and they assure them and they pick them up and they dust them off. And in grace and mercy, they help them to get back up and go again. And they encourage them. Keep going. Keep doing this. That's the picture of command and promise. The instruction of the Lord and then the grace to help us to walk in it and continue to walk in it. Jeroboam rejected the promise of God. He made his own religion. He went his own way. He had no desire to do what God commanded him to do. He crashed his plane, his family's plane. And he took Israel with him. Rehoboam did the same in Judah. We do need to ask ourselves, are we building our life on the promise of God? And the last thing to ask ourselves is, are we passing on faithful worship of the true religion, the true Christian religion, to the next generation? Our culture says, live as you wish. Everyone has a choice. You can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. But for the Christian family, for the family of God here at Bull Creek, who know that the Bible is God's word, what word will grip you? What word will grip generations of your family? May we all say this, choose you this day who you will serve. But brothers and sisters, together, as for us, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed so grateful. You have called us into a kingdom. You have given us your word. We have heard it this morning. We know that it is precious. We know that we are to do as you command. We are to serve at your will. We also know that you are a God of promise, great promises. Lord, help us to treasure them. Help us to build our life on them. And Lord, for any here who don't know you yet, please, Lord, be merciful. Open their eyes. Help them to abandon their own ways and turn to yours and live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.